Well, we started a new series last week called simply Heaven on Earth. And by that, we just mean maybe we can enact some of what God's will is, God's kingdom, that's actually alive in heaven, and enact it here on earth. Last week, we had a good start to that, I think, where we talked about how in the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught us, he said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we jumped off with. And if you missed last week, you want to hear that sermon, it is on our website, and you can engagenewark.com, you can hear that there. But the idea is that we can have a part of bringing heaven on earth and acting God's will on earth as it is in heaven. So each of the next several weeks, that's kind of what we're going to go through and enacting a little different aspect of God's will or God's kingdom that we can bring alive here on earth as it is in heaven. But today, we're talking about a particular topic. We're calling it belonging into the kingdom of heaven. Have you ever walked into a place and immediately knew that you didn't belong there? Like, you walked into this spot and like, I knew as soon as I got here, like, this was not the place that I was supposed to have come to. This was not where I normally belong. This is not where my tribe is. Have you ever had that happen to you? I stumble on that pretty regularly, it seems like. But I have our previous church that we were at in Dayton, Ohio, a number of years ago. We moved there in 2000, and we were right by Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, if you're familiar with that area, Beaver Creek, Springfield, Huber Heights area. We lived in Beaver Creek, and Wright-Patt Air Force Base is huge. I mean, it's a massive complex. In fact, they say that every weekday it becomes the fourth largest city in the state of Ohio because of how many people go there, you know, every day. So I don't know if that's true, but that's what they brag about. But anyway, the freeways all dump off at different points on the Air Force Base. And when you first move there, you don't know what's what. And like when we got there in 2000, like you'd accidentally just get down there and be right there, boom, right there at a gate into the Air Force Base. And the guards were really friendly. They were, no, I'm being serious. They were friendly. Like, oh, you've turned around the wrong way. Here's where you need to go back. But then 9/11 happened, okay? And 9/11 happened, and then you got to one of those places, and now they were, like, with M16 guns, you know? Like, they were no longer friendly. And I remember there was this one place that I always went to. This exit right here, I found a sample on Google. Colonel Glenn Highway, I should have been in the right-hand lane. That's where I should have been. But it just dumped off so quick, I didn't get over there. I did not take this picture, okay, just so you know. But like, boom, I was right there. And like, they're like, you're not supposed to be here, young man. You know, you do not belong here. And I'm like, yes, sir, I do not belong here. Like, you better figure a way out. Like, well, I'm not trying to blow up the place. I'm just trying to get over to the church. I don't know where I'm at. You do not belong here. This is not the place for you. When we moved to Newark, I hadn't been here too long, and I was in the office by myself over at Marne Church, and nobody was there in the afternoon, and a guy came into the church, and he wanted to see the place for a music venue. He wanted to put on a couple of concerts there at the church, and so I showed him around a couple different rooms where we could probably do something like that, and finally, I was like, I don't know who this person is, and so finally, I just said, I'm really sorry, I should have introduced myself. I'm Dave Warner. I'm the associate pastor here. I said, could you tell me your name? And he did one of these, like, looked me up and down, and he goes, you're not from around here, boy, are you? Like, in other words, if you don't know who I am, then you are obviously not from around here, and therefore you do not, what's the word, belong here. You don't belong. That's the immediate thing I got from that conversation. I will not tell you who that man is, because it turns out he's a real nice guy. he's a cool guy. He was fine. Believe it or not, though, just one more story. Like I'm wearing jeans here, but sometimes I actually wear nice clothes. And on occasion, when I have to wear nice clothes, it's because I have a meeting or something. Okay, I have a funeral to do, or well, it just so happens. There was a time I had to do a funeral visitation, And a friend had asked me to come to meet him at lunch at a certain establishment local here to town. And so I was like, oh, that's fine. I've never been to there before, but I heard it was great burgers. This was several years ago. So I met him at the appointed time. Actually, it was a little bit early, so I went in early. And so I walked in the door, and it jingled, you know, like ding, 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 ding. And then as soon as the door jingled, like 15 heads just whoosh, turned from the bar to look at me. And they looked me up and down, me wearing a suit and a tie. And they were like, they didn't say a word, but I could tell. They said, you don't belong here, do you? All those farmers, God bless them, I'm sure they're fine. The place has been upgraded since then. I mean, I'm obviously not saying the name because this is recorded. But I like eating there now. It's delicious. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you go to places where you just feel like you don't belong. All right, try wearing a Newark jacket in Zanesville somewhere. All right, a lot of you from Valley. Try wearing a Licking Valley shirt or jacket over at Lakewood or Granville or Heath or North Catholic. Or why do Valley people have so many enemies? I don't know. Or wear a Buckeyes jersey up in the big house in Michigan. All right, you don't belong here, do you? Sometimes you just feel out of place, or wear a Steelers jersey in the dog pound, okay? You just don't belong in that place with those things. You feel out of place. During the last election cycle, how many of you were around for that 2 years ago? As the country got more and more polarized, I talked with many people who were on both sides of the fence, red and blue, and both sides of the people were saying the same thing. I just don't feel like I belong here. This isn't the country that I remember. Both sides were saying, this is not what I imagined our country to be. It's not what I remember. It's about a sense of belonging. Where do you belong? Where's home? Where is it that you have your tribe and you can just be who you are and be yourself? Now, the churchy word for that is citizenship. Citizenship, but the idea behind it is belonging. Where do you belong? And hopefully you know where that place is, that you have a sense where you can go and you can just be you. You can just be yourself wherever that is. You can feel like you're home, and you probably know what it's like to have the other side where it's like, hey, I feel uncomfortable there. That's not home for you. You understand the idea of belonging and not belonging. And if you have ever felt like you don't belong here in our country, or you don't belong in this world because the way things are and the way you live your life is different than the way other people's are living their lives, and everyone seems to be just doing their own thing and it's not the way you remember things, then you're in probably good company, because we've all felt like that from time to time. I'm going to give you a biblical example of people who have felt like they don't belong in this world. They don't belong here for some reason. In Hebrews chapter 11, the author gives us a whole list of men of faith. In fact, sometimes Hebrews 11 is referred to as the Hall of Faith, because there's a great list of biblical people who have exhibited a life of faith. There's Abraham and Noah and Enoch and Abel. The author talks about each of their stories, and then he talks about a great cloud of witnesses of this faith that have journeyed before us. And then he says this, starting in, this is Hebrews 11:13. He says, all these people, the ones I just listed, were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things that were promised to them. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers here on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they had left, they would have an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. That's Hebrews 11:13-16. These people, they didn't receive what they were promised while they were living here. They welcomed their promises from afar. They did not receive earth as though they were living on earth. The things God promised to them happened after they passed and were gone to their heavenly home. While they were here on earth, they found themselves to be foreigners and strangers on earth. That's the feeling that people get. Like, I just don't belong here. I'm a foreigner in my own country. I'm a stranger. I just don't belong here. There's too much going on for me to feel like this is comfortable for me. This is home. It just doesn't feel like it. And if that's you, then don't worry. Father Abraham, he felt the same way too. And it's because of this. It's because we belong to a heavenly country. We belong to a heavenly country. Just looking at that Hebrews passage again. It says, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People will say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. Now, if they had been thinking of a country that they had left, they'd be able to have the opportunity to return. But they can't because it's a heavenly home. We belong to a heavenly home, a heavenly country. It doesn't mean that we scorn America. It's not all. I love America. I do. I think it's the greatest country that the planet has ever seen. And I'm really thankful that God allowed me to happen to be born here at this time so I could be a part of it. But I don't belong here. And I don't mean that I could belong anywhere else in the world in particular, but I don't belong here. If I belong to someplace else, I could go back there, but I can't because I belong to a heavenly country. Occasionally when I do go back to Dayton, and I try to navigate those off-ramps to the right place, I'll go back and visit our old neighborhood where we lived. We lived there from 2000 to 2007, and we called it the slums of Beaver Creek, all right? It was a nice neighborhood, it really was, full of ranch houses built in the 50s, you know? It was kind of dated, it was older. Beaver Creek is a really affluent town, and they have huge houses, you know, these, you know, the McMansions, you remember that? That's what most of the town is. We lived in the slums, which weren't really all that bad. But I could go back there. I can go back to that place where we came from. It's not the home of my origin, but I could go back there if I wanted to. I could actually go back to the home of my origin if I wanted to. I was there last night out towards Croton. My parents still live there. The room that I lived in all growing up was remodeled as soon as I left. Because that's what parents do, I think. But we could go there. You could probably go back to many of your places of origin. You could go back and see what it was like at your home. So if the Hebrews author was talking about an earthly country of origin, if he was talking about a place on earth that was originally home, then those people could go back there. They could go to that home. But he's saying, we don't have an earthly home. We actually have a heavenly home. They can't go back to that home because the home is in heaven. Instead, he says in verse 16, they were longing for a better country. They were longing for a better place, a heavenly one. They were longing for a better country, a heavenly country. And as great as this country is in America, it's not heaven. And as beautiful as Ohio is, it's not heaven. Last week I talked about West Virginia being almost heaven. You know, it's not heaven. It may almost be heaven, but it's not. And as wonderful as our relationships can be in this life and in this world, it's not heaven. And if we feel like we don't belong here, if we feel like things are unsettled here amongst ourselves for our daily living lives and our relationships, it's because we have a sense of belonging that is not here. Our belonging is for someplace else. We have a longing for heaven. We have a desire to be part of something greater than ourselves, and we want to be accepted into something greater. That longing is for belonging. And then that finish that passage says, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. God's prepared a place for us, and you can read about that in John chapter 14. At the beginning of the passage, it talks about Jesus saying to the disciples, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come back. And basically, he's given the analogy of the ancient Jewish practice of the bride and groom. After they'd make an arrangement for the two families to have a marriage, then the bride's the groom and his dad would go back to the house and build a room. It would build a new place for them. For the new couple to come together. And as soon as it's done, they'd go back and get the bride. It'd be a surprise. No one would know how long it would take to get there. And the groom's not ashamed of his bride. He's proud of her. And he shows her off. So we're the church. And the analogy is that we are the bride of the church, the bride of the groom. The church is the bride of the groom, Jesus. That means we're awaiting our new home. We're awaiting a new home because we don't belong here. We belong in a heavenly home. Now, that's all kind of like, you know, heady stuff to think about. Like, what's he talking about? I've covered about six topics, you know, especially if we had a late Saturday night last night. So practically speaking, though, in this series, we're talking about how can we bring heaven here on earth? How can we bring these aspects of heaven on earth? We want to identify how we can bring the idea of belonging here to earth. So think about how belonging impacts us practically speaking. If we truly identify as belonging to a heavenly home, to another place than where we are, then that impact is that we have to realize this is our temporary home, that we're just staying here. And you might consider yourself this other biblical term, the biblical term that is now politically hot right now, which is this. You might consider yourself a refugee. And you can have whatever opinion you want on the political nature of the global refugee crisis. I'm not here to influence your opinion on that. That's for you and God to sort out. Instead, I would like you to consider yourself as a refugee, that you're not a citizen of this place. Yeah, you're a citizen of the United States, but a citizen of the earth, because we are belonging to a heavenly home. Instead, while we're here on earth, we seek a peaceful refuge, a place where you can live and be and grow and have a family for the time being, for this time while you're here. Think of what a refugee means. Being a refugee means that you don't belong here, but you are here. Yeah, I don't belong here, but this is where I am. This is where we're at for right now until I get to go home. Being a refugee means that you'll get involved in the community in which you are, but you don't get so wrapped up in it that you can't leave because you actually belong to another country and you will go to that other country as soon as you can. Being a refugee means that you long to return to that home. You have a desire. You want to be there. You long for that home of heaven. Being a refugee means that while you may have opinions and participation in local matters and political matters, they don't define you. And while they may affect you, they are not the totality of your existence. You're an outsider looking in. And you can work to bring about positive change for everyone, but it's not life and death to you because you belong to another home, a heavenly home. Being a refugee means that you're not likely to be comfortable all the time. You may feel like there's more to this world than what you're experiencing at this moment. There's got to be more than this. And there is. You're right. There is more than this because you're longing for that heavenly home. Now, as a refugee in this world, you may never feel like you belong. You may never feel like this is home for you. But how can you help other people feel like they belong with you? Like they belong in the heavenly home to which you belong as well? How can you welcome others into your country of origin of the heavenly home? So that help them feel like they belong with a little bit of heaven here on earth. How can you help people so that when they encounter you, when they encounter your presence, they just feel different? God, I've been a part of something different. So that when people come to your home, your house that you live in, and they feel like they belong there because your living room is just a little bit of heaven right here on earth. And they recognize, that's where I belong. I belong there with those people. We may be refugees, but we can bring our heavenly home with us wherever we go. We might be living here temporarily for a period of time, but why can't we have a little bit of heaven with us wherever we go? I talk about refugees, but honestly, refugee may not be the best word for it because there's another word that I'd like to use that Apostle Paul uses in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And the word we're looking for is ambassador. And the idea is this, we represent the king. Last week we talked a lot about the king, kingdom, and will. We're representatives of the king and the heavenly kingdom while we're here on earth. So we represent the king in 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17. I'm going to skip two verses and then read 20 and 21. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view.
Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So let's kind of sort these two ideas out a little bit. I'm thinking just kind of a two-list thing. If you're a refugee is seeking asylum. All right, we're looking for a peaceful place to stay because something's going on in our country of origin, in our home. But an ambassador actually is proactively representing. It goes to the people to represent on behalf of the government or the king. So one is asylum, the other one is representation. The refugee is seeking a peaceful return. They're looking for an opportunity to go back home peacefully. But an ambassador is coming home triumphantly. I have done what I've been asked to do by the king. An ambassador has a triumphant return home. A refugee will kind of just lay low. You know, we've seen pictures in the news of refugee camps and try to blend in as best they possibly can. They'll lay low. But the ambassador is trying to expand the brand. They're trying to take the culture and community of the king and expand that to as many people in the host country as possible. A refugee is going to look for protection. A refugee is coming to the host country to find protection, whereas an ambassador proactively gives and provides protection. The ambassador provides protection. And lastly, the refugee is passively biding their time until they can go home, whereas the ambassador actively pursues the agenda of the king. There's a big difference between a refugee and ambassador. But the idea is that we are foreign in a foreign place. We're foreigners in a foreign country. We are not in our home country of origin. So Paul says, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. A worldly point of view says that once you're born, that's it. You've got one life to live, and that's all you got. And whatever you are, that's what you are, whether you're American or Canadian or Mexican or Egyptian, Arabian, Iraqi, Turkish, Japanese, whatever you are, that's what you are, and that's it. That's a worldly view. But when we take a heavenly view, we don't see that background. We don't see the country of origin. We just see that we're all pilgrims on a journey. We're all just on this journey together. We're meant for a different home, that we belong to another heavenly country. We must no longer take the worldly view of looking at people. In fact, Paul says that they even looked at Jesus from a worldly perspective. He was a Jewish man who taught good things. He was a good prophet. Some expected him to restore a political kingdom. But no longer can we view Jesus that way from that worldly view. We can no longer see one another in this way from this worldly view. So when you see people, do you see people who belong to a kingdom or need to belong to a kingdom? Or do you just see a person who made decisions that you agree with or disagree with? Do you see a body that looks really good or a body that doesn't look really good? Or do you see a person that you don't like because of their skin color? Do you see a person that you don't like because they love someone that you don't think that they should love because of their gender? Part of bringing heaven on earth is not viewing people from a worldly view. We must see people with kingdom eyes. See people as Jesus sees them, with eternal and sacred worth, with potential for a change of citizenship to help them belong. Help them belong to a new family. Because if we say we are a people of Jesus, if we say we're a people of Jesus, then we must know that this is true. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The new creation has come and the old has gone. The new is here. I'm so thankful for that verse right there. Give an amen if you love that verse. If you're thankful that you don't have to be stuck in the old, that the old is gone and the new has come, we praise God that we don't have to live life in the old. We're not stuck in this world. We're not defined by our past sins. The new is here. And our hope is that people won't see us for who we were, but for who we are and who we are becoming because of what Christ has done in us. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us, and we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. What does an ambassador do? Represents the king, expands the brand,
works on
behalf of the king. He says, we implore you on Christ's behalf. As if Christ were here doing this right in front of you, I implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. In other words, as ambassadors, we want you to belong. Everybody should belong. We want you to join this crazy kingdom thing. We want you to experience heaven on earth, right here, right now. We don't want you to have to die to get to that point. Experience it today. It's about belonging, because you can belong too. Now, I'm not talking about belonging to a particular church or belonging to this church or becoming members of a human organization. That doesn't matter in the terms of kingdom relevance. I'm talking about belonging to a kingdom. Belong to the heavenly kingdom, and you can belong today. And it can only happen one way. And Paul says it, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He's talking about Jesus. God caused Jesus, who had no sin, to take on our sin, the collective pile of sin for humanity. He took it on, and he became that sin for us. He took our sin to the cross. That sin died with him. It was buried with him. And then in 3 days' time, Jesus conquered that grave. He conquered that sin, and he gave life so that we might become the righteousness of God. Why? So we can belong. So we can take the kingdom of heaven and help other people belong, so they can be a part of this kingdom. One way to bring heaven on earth is to transform our citizenship from earth to heaven. Philippians chapter 3:20, Paul says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. We await the Savior to come to restore and redeem us. Honestly, you can't transform yourself. You can't transform your own citizenship. Now, you could do that if you were worried about... We have a friend who came from India to America, and she had to move her citizenship over, and she did that. She was able to do that. But you can't do it on your own if your citizenship is in heaven. Jesus does that. Jesus did it. He took our sin and defeated it so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He did all the work. All you need to do to belong is acknowledge it. Acknowledge it from your heart and from your head, and then your citizenship is transferred, and you belong in the kingdom of God. What about your friends and family? How about bringing heaven on earth for them and in their lives so they can experience the joy of belonging? A lot of non-believers think that Christians have it all together. They might look at us, oh, they go to church, they're righteous, you know. Well, let's be real. We don't have it all together. I know you don't. I know you don't because I don't. I haven't got it all together. Hopefully, Christians are not the ones that are out there pretending to be righteous, although I know some. We're not pretending to be righteous. Rather, we should be the ones who are most honest and upfront about our need. We're the ones who say, yep, I need Jesus to do this for me, that Jesus would become my sin so that I could become righteous with God. We simply have to acknowledge that we can't do it on our own. We can't become righteous on our own. We need Jesus to do that for us. We can be real about that. And we can extend that invitation to others. We can help others belong by helping them acknowledge their need for Jesus as we acknowledge our own. You probably know someone close or in your family, or you know somebody who's close to that anyway. They're right there. They're close. You probably know somebody who thinks they need to, maybe they're not so close, but they think they need to get their act right before they would ever come to church or do things like, oh, I can't go in there, the lightning will strike. I've been doing pastoral work for a long time. I've never seen lightning strike in the building because a sinner came in. Because it happens every Sunday, the sinners come in. Bring some heaven on earth to them and help them belong. Or maybe you don't feel like you belong yet. Maybe you feel like I'm not quite there, and I don't feel like I belong to this kingdom thing. We're going to sing a song, and I think we're singing it as well. When we sing this song, it's really, you know, there's a lot of theological depth to this song. But it's acknowledging that through all the troubles and difficulties that come in life, it is still well with my soul. And it can only be well with our soul because we've allowed Jesus to take it, to take all of our burdens, all of our difficulties, all of our struggles. Jesus took all those things already. So now we just need to give it to him. Maybe in this song, you might hear God speak to you. And that little whisper, you might hear him say, give it to me. And that's him saying, maybe there's something specific, but right now I'm saying, give him all. Give him your all. And that way you can belong. You can belong to the kingdom. Acknowledge your need for Jesus to make you righteous because he took on your sin. And that is what makes you worthy. Let us pray. God, in this time of worship, we sing, we hear great songs, and got an awesome band and all that. But really, what we're about is your kingdom. And today specifically, we want to think about how you have created a way for us to belong. And we can't just keep this to ourselves, but maybe we have people we know that need to belong, that need to find that heavenly home that you've provided us. And so, God, we are asking you to do one of two things. Either stir in our hearts a desire for somebody else to bring along and help them belong to you and your kingdom, or stir in our hearts that need to acknowledge you as our Savior, that you are the one who makes us righteous, that only Jesus gives us the ability to belong. So God, we just ask that you would stir in our hearts, awaken our souls to the need to belong to you and acknowledge Jesus' saving grace in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name.